This Israel report is brought to you by the Blue Agency. Your Israel property is in good hands. Owning properties in Israel can be a great investment, but challenging to manage if you are based abroad. The Blue Agency will manage every aspect of your property, finding and vetting tenants, maintaining your property and getting it rental ready, negotiating contracts and collecting rentals, reporting back to you regularly. The Blue Agency has built a reputation for trust and confidentiality over 20 years. The Blue Agency, your Israel property is in good hands. Contact us at www.theblueagency.com.
The Israel Report for the latest news and insights with Anthony Reich.
Anthony Reich, a very good morning. Anthony, before I chat to you, I do want to let people know that we are going to be playing the interview between Piers Morgan and Benjamin Netanyahu at 6:30 p.m. So it's 6:30 tonight here on Chai FM, and the interview is courtesy of Piers Morgan, and it is uncensored. Piers Morgan, uncensored tonight here on Chai FM at 6:30 for that full interview. Anthony Reich, a very good morning to you. How are you?
Booker Tov, yes. Well, a few things in the aftermath of recent events. First of all, I need to correct something that I said yesterday that was factually incorrect, because you asked me about what the current status of the Minister of Defense is. And what I said to you was that the Ministry of Defense had actually passed to Avi Dichter. That is not correct. So I'd like to correct myself, and I apologize if I've misled people along the way. The current status of the Ministry of Defense is that even though Prime Minister Netanyahu announced on Sunday evening that he would be firing Yoav Gallant, in fact, the official letter dismissing him from his post as Minister of Defense has not been received. And so as of the current moment, Yoav Gallant continues to serve as Minister of Defense, even though publicly he was fired. But in the bureaucracy of getting the documentation in place and doing things according to the rules, the letter of dismissal has not been written, or maybe it has been written, but it hasn't been sent. And so the current status is that Yoav Gallant remains Minister of Defense.
Now, do you think that could be intentional? Do you think it's just a way of just letting that slide? Or is that just wishful thinking, maybe?
Well, there are two schools of thought on this one. The first of which is that there are potentially three or four candidates who might fill that slot, and the Prime Minister hasn't yet decided which one he would like to put in there. Let's be quite clear that the three or four candidates are not nearly as well qualified as Yoav Gallant is to be Minister of Defense. None of them have had any leading roles in the military as such, even though Avi Dichter, whose name I mentioned yesterday and who I thought had taken over, was actually head of the Shabak, of the Internal Security Service. So obviously he's had some leadership role in security, but not in terms of running the military, which of course Yoav Gallant, as the former Chief of General Staff, has had. The others who are lined up as potential successors to Gallant, none of them have had any real senior military or security leadership. So there's some question as to how suitable any of those people really are to pick up the defense ministry. So the other school of thought is that the Prime Minister is just intending to let the slide, as you've suggested. He is not going to dismiss Gallant, but he's not going to say that he's not going to dismiss him. He's just not going to dismiss him. So he's kind of given him a rap on the knuckles publicly by saying he's fired. He's also had a go at Gallant in that speech that I mentioned from Monday evening, when he really was quite critical of the tolerance that has been shown towards people who refused to take up their military duty, have refused to do reserve duty and things like that. And of course, Gallant was one of those who was understanding. I don't say that he was supportive of the refusal to obey orders, but he was kind of understanding of the position that was taken. And in all fairness, many, many, many generals in the general staff of the IDF were also very understanding, even though the IDF has to be an apolitical organization. But for the very first time that I can ever remember, the general staff has really been shown some understanding towards certain political positions that have been adopted. So there was clearly some criticism of that position that was taken in the Prime Minister's speech. And I think yesterday, generally, there was a feeling of like a hangover from the day, from the heavy day of the night before. A lot of people felt very offended by the speech that the Prime Minister gave when he eventually kind of backed down from the judicial reform. They felt that even though he kind of backed down from the judicial reform, there was a lot of offense in the way that he presented things. He was quite critical of certain aspects of Israeli society. He was also very supportive of his own supporters and in the process told some kind of half-truths about what was really going down. Many of the opposition leaders distrust his intentions of the judicial reform back down. One of the opposition leaders famously said, when Netanyahu says good morning, we have to check whether it's actually morning. So that's the level of distrust that goes down with some of the opposition leaders. People feel that he's simply delaying what is inevitable anyway, and that this is really not a back down, but just kind of put it on hold with the intention of pushing it through in any event. It's going to be very fascinating to see on Saturday night whether the protests resume. The protest movement is in danger at the moment of being criticized because some of the people have said the protest movement was not really about the judicial reform, but was really about opposing the government at any price. And the opposition was really quite careful, at least the protest movement was really quite careful to focus in on the judicial reform and say, this is not okay. So the moment the Prime Minister backed down and said, okay, I'm going to give in to do these judicial reform requests to try to freeze the process and to do it in a more broad, with broader consensus. And they were forced to stop the protest because if they'd continued the protest, they would have been accused of being anti-government rather than anti-judicial reform. So it's going to be interesting to see what happens this Saturday night, which would potentially be the 13th week in a row of protests against judicial reform.
What's interesting about that is it does put them in a difficult position because a lot of people, certainly who are more on the right, have said to me, this is not about judicial reform. This is really about not accepting election results, fighting with government at any cost. Now that the judicial reform is put on hold, does continue, it almost proves that narrative, which makes me a little uneasy because, well, hold on, maybe it was then simply about opposing government at all costs and not about judicial reform.
I think that there's a mix in here, and I think that where it might have been begun as a judicial reform protest, I think what's happened because of the way in which the government has behaved during the period of that protest, it's kind of become a bigger issue. It's kind of become a little bit about the way in which this government has behaved and is behaving and has done things. What might have started out as simply anti-judicial reform has really become a bigger issue. And especially when the Prime Minister fired Yoav Gallant on that famous Sunday evening when everybody took to the streets, that was really not about judicial reform. That was about the behavior of the government and the prime minister and what was going down at the leadership level. That was not really an anti-judicial reform response. So I think the issue has become a little bit larger than just simply judicial reform. But of course, they do stand accused of not accepting the election result, as you've suggested, and therein lies the danger for the protest movement. The question is, do they go on? Do they get stronger? Do they stand accused of being anti-government? Or does this all just peter out?
I'd love your thoughts on that. 34519 or 0618951019. Do you think it should continue? The protest should continue? Is it about the judicial reform or is it more than that? Have you seen this in a different way? Let me know on 34519 or 0618951019. So where are we? Are the teams now at work negotiating this?
Well, yesterday the negotiating teams met under the auspices of the president for the first meeting. Each of the interested parties nominated their negotiating teams. Obviously, the leaders of the parties are not themselves involved in all of the negotiations, but at least the negotiating teams apparently did meet, even if the meeting was only for an hour, or some newspapers have reported an hour and a half, and therefore not much was achieved at all. Nothing of substance was achieved, at least in that meeting, but at least the first meeting took place at the president's residence, and apparently the negotiating teams are due to meet again today. The meeting was described as being held in good spirits, and of course the meetings are due to continue today. So as of now, we can say that the process has begun to negotiate this judicial reform with broader consensus. That's really the objective, is to try and find a way to enact judicial reform, which is a reform which can last the distance, which can see itself not only through the current government, but can be accepted through future governments without any political considerations being applied. And there are some people in Israel who feel, perhaps quite optimistically, that we may even get something like a constitution out of this process. Now, I think that that may well be some optimistic thinking, some wishful thinking perhaps, and I'm not quite sure that we're going to get a constitution, but I'm certainly hoping that somehow the basic laws will be entrenched as something of a quasi-constitution, and that they will not be open to political exploitation in terms of just being subject to change every time the government changes, that the basic laws need to somehow be entrenched and need to somehow be supported across broader consensus rather than just by the ruling party with their 50+1 majority in the Knesset. So I'm hoping that somehow we can get a basic law which will be entrenched and which will require a two-thirds majority or some sort of a supermajority to change, and which will become almost impossible to change unless there's support across the political spectrum for those changes.
Shira, living in Israel, says, "Hi, Howard, I live in Israel. It's been so upsetting to see the lack of unity here. We all have to pray and remember we are one nation at the end. This is far beyond just the reform. In the end, we voted, and that is democracy. Violence is not. And the anti-religious aspect has also been very upsetting. Pray for Israel. We've had enough enemies. We don't need to be each other's enemies." And beautifully said, Shira. Thank you for sending that, because it really does, I think, capture a lot of what people are feeling, you know, and we often say it from one step removed outside looking in it. It's devastating, because when you see, when we imagine a world without Israel, because we've turned on ourselves and destroyed it through disrespect and through the way in which we treat each other, it is absolutely horrific. Charles says, "If Bibi is so distrusted, why is he constantly re-elected?" Well, I think that's quite a complex question, isn't it, Anthony? I mean, that also goes to the disappointment people felt with Bennett, I think, I would imagine.
It is a complex question, and Bibi is a complex individual with amazing talents, with amazing capabilities, with major achievements that he has made for the state of Israel over an extended period of time that he's been prime minister. So he definitely has some positive things, and he's undoubtedly a leader. He attracts the support of huge swathes of Israel because of his leadership capabilities, and because of that capability, his talents, the abilities that he has, they are unquestioned across the board. The problem is how he then goes about using them, and that's where the distrust unfortunately creeps in.
The U.S. President Joe Biden clarified that he has no intention of inviting Israeli Prime Minister to the White House anytime soon. That's in spite of mixed messages having been sent on this matter. So why has this become a matter of public discussion?
Well, this became a huge matter of public discussion because during those hours on Monday, when we were waiting for the Prime Minister to make his announcement on TV while he was negotiating in the back rooms about what he's going to do with the judicial reform, we are now led to believe that there was massive pressure being put on the Prime Minister from the U.S. administration, from the White House, from other sources within the U.S. administration, to drop the judicial reform completely. And so we are led to understand that there was one article that I read which said that the prime minister was literally bombarded with messages from the U.S. administration to drop the whole issue of the judicial reform. And so ultimately, when the announcement was made that the judicial reform was being put on hold, that would have gone some way towards satisfying the requests that were made by the U.S. administration. But as we know, nothing comes for free in this world, and it wouldn't have surprised anybody, and this is really why it's become a matter of public debate. It wouldn't have surprised anybody if the Prime Minister had said, well, I will agree to freeze the judicial reform and adhere to the requests that are coming from the White House, and in return for that, I want to be invited to the White House, because we know that Prime Minister Netanyahu puts a lot of a value on him being invited to a meeting at the White House. And so yesterday there was all this debate about whether he might be rewarded with a meeting in the White House as a result of him putting the judicial reform on ice. And in fact, the U.S. Ambassador to Israel, Tom Nides, allowed that debate to continue by saying that he expected that there would be an invitation to the White House in the near future, perhaps after Pesach, although no date has been set. So actually the U.S. ambassador contributed towards some of that discussion and some of the debate that was going on in the public arena. But the White House made an announcement saying no date has been set. And ultimately the president came out when he was asked the question saying, no, he will not be invited anytime soon. And so he really put like a big dampener on that whole debate, because one would have thought that Netanyahu would have wished to extract some value from the White House on this
Anthony,
issue.
Anthony, a few people, I don't want to let you go without asking this question, because a few people are sending me messages about this. Peter saying, what about the promise of Ben-Gvir's National Guard? Is that now playing into the protest? Anton L. wants to know about the Ben-Gvir extra powers. That definitely is something that feels a little uneasy. What is the story here?
So there has been some information released about the discussions around a National Guard. It seems as if though these discussions have been going on between Ben-Gvir and the Prime Minister already for some time, and that's ultimately Ben-Gvir said, well, now's your moment to reward me if I'm going to stay in the government. This is what I'm going to extract from you. It's very fascinating that the Prime Minister himself made no mention of this deal, made no mention of a National Guard, has still not made any comment about it, but Ben-Gvir and his team have been releasing information. Apparently, there's quite a lot of prepared information that Ben-Gvir has proposed about a National Guard. Perhaps we should leave until tomorrow opportunity for me to talk a little bit more about it.
I think it does need a proper.
There is some interest in it.
Yeah. Okay. So let's do that. Let's pick that up tomorrow at 7:45. Anthony Wright, thank you. As always, we will catch you tomorrow, Thursday, at that time.
That Israel Report was brought to you by the Blue Agency. Your Israel property is in good hands. Owning properties in Israel can be a great investment, but challenging to manage if you're based abroad. The Blue Agency will manage every aspect of your property, finding and vetting tenants, maintaining your property and getting it rental ready, negotiating contracts and collecting rentals, reporting back to you regularly. The Blue Agency has built a reputation for trust and confidentiality over 20 years. The Blue Agency, your Israel property is in good hands. Contact us at www.theblueagency.com.